up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, aka Indie Ronin, on pretty much everything you can find. I guess, what is that, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, if there's a space in there. Because there's also another Indie Ronin on YouTube who's somebody else. PSN, pretty much everything. Xbox, it's all over the place. And do my eyes deceive me? Michael Panarello, is that you across the table from me?
It is.
Oh my gosh, Michael. Everybody's been waiting for your return over here. How's it been going?
It's been good. I've actually been here the entire time, just sitting across from you, listening to you record these things. Oh my God. Just not talking.
That would be the creepiest thing ever. If you just always were here, just sitting across the room and be like, Michael, you want to jump in here? And you're just like, nah, I'm good.
Or it would have been even funnier if like you're recording and you think I'm here, like you're talking and stuff. And people are like, oh, where's Michael? Like, what? I'm talking to Michael. He's here the entire time. It's like, no, it's just you, Nathan. Oh my God. What are you talking about?
That would have been the worst kind of technical disaster ever. Like, we've had some, like, you remember back, oh my God, episode, like, 3 or 4? No. We had the awful Thanksgiving episode that
Repressed
we record.
Those memories of when we shared a mic and...
Oh my gosh, that's right, we did, yeah. This was all pre-COVID times.
Oh, man.
Sharing mics was an acceptable thing. Now we've got, like, a whole table in between us. And
I would say good old days, but it was good because pre-COVID, but it was bad because we weren't really good at this.
Yeah, so it's like you got the goods and the bads, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Well, everybody, as you can tell, it is now the dynamic duo returning here for the podcast. I'm gonna coin that term. It's been used so many times other places.
Yeah, you really can't coin the term. Everyone else uses it.
Is that how that term works, or that phrase
I'm
works?
Sure.
When you coin something, do you have to be the first one to use it?
Maybe.
Also, why is it coining a term? Maybe people can write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com.
That's a great question.
Answer that question for me, because maybe it's just like. I don't know. Is it like the idea of like minting something where it's like.
Maybe. Like I you guess, could not like stamp it or like you. Not create it.
Yeah. Because it's like. Yeah. I don't know. Like my mind goes to like minting coins. And I mean like minting reminds me of like patenting or something. I don't know.
Patenting is like taking as your own, right?
Yeah.
Or like nobody else can take it.
There's so many words that are all like really close together. Who
okay. Knows? Here we go. I got the definition. A coin term. Or a neologism is a common topic in terminology and refers to the creation of a new term when there is not an equivalent exact term in that target language. Therefore, in some fields, keeping up with this growing number of new terms makes terminology management a must-do for many organizations.
Okay, so you could say that we coined the term trade for trade.
We did. We did.
But maybe not dynamic
not
duo.
Definitely dynamic duo is probably a Batman thing.
Yeah, I think that's what comes to mind there is Batman and Robin. Yeah, that probably sounds about right. Any other like duos in superhero like universes and stuff ever feel like jilted because they can't use the term dynamic duo anymore? You
know I'm saying? Trying to think of other superhero teams, but none come to mind.
Aquaman and the Dolphin.
The Dolphin's not a superhero. He's not a team member.
He's probably got a favorite dolphin out
there. It's like only Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that's probably true. Who else could there be?
Superman doesn't have one. Spider-Man doesn't have one. Captain America
Superman
doesn't have one.
And Crypto.
Crypto, yeah.
Yeah? Dynamic Duo?
No. No.
Man, what is this podcast about?
Oh, what a great start.
Like 4 minutes in.
It's like we've been doing this forever.
Oh man, you know it's good to get the juices flowing. You know?
Exactly.
If this was a lemon, we'd already be making lemonade. You know what I'm saying?
And it would have been drunk already too.
Wow, that's fast. We're real good at that. All right, everybody. So, like you guys know, this is a podcast about video games and all the things we love about them. This week's been a little bit weird, just because there's not a whole lot of news going on. This is our first return episode. Actually, that was one of the fun facts I looked up earlier. It was, so tomorrow will be officially a full year since we've recorded together.
Oh my God.
The 28th was episode 68, and we're now on episode 69, which as the tweens would say, is nice.
Nice.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, it's been almost a year since we recorded a you know, full episode like this.
I want to say it doesn't feel like we stopped.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of just, this last year just feels like the year that's never ended.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I know Christmas came and went, but it's like, back in March, like when things were starting to shut down.
My God.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Have you noticed when I was watching a video on this, like, and it's a tangent, but when you're younger, you think time goes real slow.
Oh, yeah.
But as we've gotten older, time just, like, days go by, months go by, years go by. Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's like, bam, I'm turning 30. It's like, wow, don't know what to do with that.
Man.
Yeah, time is crazy. When do you think was the slowest year of your life? Let's say not counting COVID year. You know what I mean? Like when you were
younger. Longest year?
What do you think was the...
Yeah, probably when I moved to Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Initially.
Okay. Like it's like slow as in like, wow, this is kind of cool. It's like drawn out or it's like...
Just slow, like there's so much going on. Because it was like middle of seventh grade and I had to transfer schools and meet new people and it was just... I remember it not being... Kind of yeah, being a stressful year.
Gotcha. From what I remember. Okay. It was slow because of the stress. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay.
I can't think of a year where it was just slow because this is great. Because I feel like when things go good, like trips and stuff,
that's true,
they go by fashion, like, man, why did that end already?
It's like it's already over. I wanted to be back again.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how I feel about when I went to Japan with my wife for our honeymoon.
I was
just
there,
like,
too.
Man,
exactly.
Yeah, Michael was there too. He was just sitting across the table the not recording. But yeah, it was like, yeah, it was, I know it was only like 10 ish days because we had travel for a couple days or flying for a couple days. But yeah, it just seemed like, yeah, we got there and we were just going all over the place and it's just like, wow, time to go home.
Sucks.
Ah, man, it would have been great to stay for longer.
Yeah, I want
to
go.
We got to get you to Japan, Michael.
I know, someday.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID. Post-vaccine shots.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was looking for.
Because like, COVID's probably not going away.
I don't think we're ever going to get post-COVID. It'll just kind of be like it's there.
Living with it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. But now, yeah, vaccines, there you go. So that's the next one. Did they... This is super side tangent. Have they said anything about Oregon?
May.
Okay. So it is May. All right. So
end of April, they're hoping to get anybody or everybody.
Okay.
Can get one then.
Well, there we go. Here we go. Going straight into it then, Michael. All right. So we're going to talk about some video games now. We've kept you guys waiting long enough.
Forgot this was a video game podcast.
I know. It's like the main thing that we do here is video games. We've got, you know, quite a bunch of things that I'm sure we've been playing since we've both recorded together. I'm going to jump in real quick with a few delays that have been announced, and I think some things I missed from last week. So, the delays that we know of that were more recent, Back 4 Blood, which is a game that was coming out on June 22nd, I almost said 26th, has been moved to October 12th. That is one of the games that Michael has on his draft list.
Mm-hmm.
So
that I'm winning in.
But yeah, yeah. Michael's totally kicking my butt right now. Like, my keister is kicked at the moment. And I need some more games to come out, Michael. It's crazy.
I think that's going to be your downfall. You're getting so many games. You're just not getting the right games.
Well, okay. Yeah. Let's take a diversion. We'll come back to the delays in a moment here. So the current status of the FantasyCritic.games league that we have going on, Bros and Consoles, you can check it out over there. I guess no. So you check it out on Fantasy Critic. You search Bros and Consoles and it comes up. Right now, Michael's... Let's see. Yeah, this is a good place to start.
40.
Yeah, so Michael is at a total of 40, right? And I never really pay attention to this actual points nonsense.
Yeah.
Because it changes all the time. It's real confusing. But if I were to look at kind of the total amount of games that Michael has on his list and ones that are released, so he has three that have been released so far. He is expecting 13 more, which means he has 16 total, right? I have 22 total, and I'm expecting 20 more still. And two of them have been released. So the ones that have been released on my side, I think we've mentioned before, are Bravely Default 2, which I got 8 points from, and Cyber Shadow, which I have 12 points from. Michael counterpicked Bravely Default 2, so he got a -8 from there. But two of his games that came out recently have, you know, really boosted him up there. So Monster Hunter Rise came out recently. Actually,
great
yesterday.
Game.
Yeah, Michael's been playing it. I've been watching, and I'm in agreement. It looks pretty amazing. It had him 17 points, so it's an 87 right now. And It Takes Two, also at an 87, gave him another 17 points, added on to his 13 points from Little Nightmares 2. So Michael's calling the shots and making the baskets.
Just waiting for those specific game announcements and release dates. I'm like, oh, gonna grab that for a dollar. Grab that for a dollar.
Now I'm curious. There was an addition. I think maybe last week when it happened, or the week before, which added Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga.
I did.
Which what brought that along?
I was looking at the games that were coming out and then have release dates. I'm like, oh, Lego Star Wars: Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I played the Lego games. They're fun.
Yeah.
But extremely frustrating.
Yes.
Very frustrating. But I looked at the trailer because I've been hearing like they've like revamped things and it looks different. I'm like, okay, what can this be? Looked it up and it's like they reworked the system like completely. Like it's you're almost like third person, but the camera's zoomed in now. So it's like like an actual third person. It's like you're playing Witcher or other third person games just in Lego form.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
And they've always had good humor in the Lego games.
Yeah, it's like a family friendly, mm-hmm. funny kind of action game.
They have voice acting. It looks like too.
Oh, okay. Because I know not all of them have it, right?
None of them have it.
More recent ones have.
Batman has it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
Marvel has it too.
I think did Lord of the Rings have it as well?
I don't remember.
They got rid of it.
I never played a Lego Lord of the Rings. Unfortunately. Okay.
I know there are some that have it, but there's also like some of them that were based around more like movie type mm-hmm. things,
like Indiana Jones and
mm-hmm. yeah, like I think they weren't always like exact quotes from the movie either, and maybe mm-hmm. that's why they didn't have talking in them,
right?
But yeah, because it takes on that more, you know, silly kind of aspect where mm-hmm. it's like, you know, instead of maybe stabbing an orc, you're like, oh, you make him trip and he hurts his face or something.
Hit him with the stick. Oh, he's mm-hmm. sleeping.
Oh, you hit him with a stick. I think he said he picks up a stick and now he's sleeping. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. But okay. Yeah, because I saw that and I was like,
it looked pretty good.
Interesting. That's an interesting pick. I wanted to ask you about that. Because I know you picked up No More Heroes 3. And I was I knew Michael was excited for that. So that
you should look up the trailer for the Star Wars Lego one and tell me your opinions of it after.
Okay, yeah, I'll take a look at that. Maybe for next time then. But yeah, so we're still we got a few ones that are coming up. You've got, I think, two more games coming up in the pretty near future. Mm-hmm. Like was it 4 days
from now? Binding of Isaac
and yeah, 4 days from now you got the Binding of Isaac Repentance coming out for PC, and then Nier Replicant version lots of numbers comes out.
That'd be great.
Such a great name. Does it make sense? Do you know the reason of the title or anything?
I don't know the name. I don't know the reason for the title. I just know it's a remake of the original.
Okay. Then okay. Maybe there's something in there. Yeah. Because it sounds like it's a remake of the original Nier. Mm-hmm. Right? But then what's up with the? Well, I guess maybe I didn't play the original Nier, so maybe that's just why. But
I didn't either.
I thought the main character had like long white hair, and doesn't it look like it's like a dude who's got like short white hair?
Couldn't answer.
Okay. Yeah, this is hard for either of us.
I know. They might have like altered his look or something.
Okay.
Now, I know. I don't even know if it's a guy. I know he's like a. I think he's like. There's like no gender to him. I think.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I mean, he's, but I could he's be an wrong. Android, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to. I mean, I've got the PS3. I should try Nier, and see how it is, and then see if it's anything like Replicant when it comes out. But yeah, you've got that one coming out, I think, later in April. And then I finally start to get some things that are coming out, like at the end of April. Actually, I didn't realize two on the same day, Returnal and new Pokemon Snap.
Yep.
And then May starts with the Resident Evil Village and Deathloop.
Yep, so you got four in a row coming.
Yeah, got some more coming in there. But yeah, dude, there's been a lot of crazy things so far. And I didn't realize it says now that Lego Star Wars, it's estimated for spring.
Yep.
So you might actually have that coming out pretty soon too then.
It's all part of the plan.
When does spring end?
June sometime?
Oh, it is June.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Oh, okay. That's...
Then a summer. I think summer starts like June 20th or something.
That's always the weird thing in my head where I always mix up when seasons start and end.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I'm always like, oh, you know, like first 3 months, that's spring. And next three is summer.
I'm just
like, okay, no, that's wrong.
Who keeps track of that anyway?
So May is spring mm-hmm. still. Okay, yeah, to June. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. Yeah, man, so many things coming out, but we have to wait a while for some of these things as well.
Unfortunately.
Now, going back into other things we have to wait a while for, segues, Michael. I got Humankind was apparently delayed. It's coming out on August 17th now. It's like more of a, I think, like strategy world building kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was originally coming out April 22nd, so about 4 months there, it got pushed. Gotham Knights got pushed into next year. It didn't have a date originally for this year. I mean, it was 2021, but now it's been pushed in. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the one that I think I missed last episode, and maybe even a few episodes ago, was that I had a notification on my phone for, you know, as things are slowly releasing that I'm interested in. One of them was Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Remake. Oh, yeah.
And, like, originally it was supposed to come out in January, and then it got pushed to March. And I realized, as I was kind of looking through and adding some extra dates for new things, I realized that it was showing as if, like, oh, you know, it already released. Like, how come you didn't buy this, or how come you didn't check it off, right? And I was like, wait, it's out. And I went to look at the store, and it's not there. And I was like, what's going on here? So I checked, and apparently, I think back in, it sounded like maybe in February is when the story broke, that it has just been pushed indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, ooh.
They're going to rework a lot of it.
Yeah, not great, but that's okay. We'll see how it comes
out. Never played any of those games, so.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. This, I mean, like, this is probably the only one that I've played, and probably the only one I'd be interested in playing again, kind of thing. Right. It was a cool story when it first came out, so mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. And the, like, the rewind time mechanic kind of thing was, I think, the cool, interesting part of it. So I'd be interested to kind of see it again. I think I saw recently trophies pop for it on PSN profiles and stuff. So some people were speculating that that may mean it's getting closer to coming out. They just haven't given a date, which would be weird. So
that would be weird, yeah.
I have no idea, like, when it's actually coming, but maybe we'll eventually see people who are playing in the secret or something.
Shadow drop it.
Oh my gosh, shadow drop. That would be such a sad thing there. But what other games have you been playing lately, Michael?
I'm not gonna go.
Yeah, you don't have to go
into
all.
I'm just gonna do the ones that I recently played, because there's been too many since the last time we recorded. Mm-hmm. On the PS4, I'll start with the main ones I want to point out. Is I've been getting into a lot of fighting games recently.
That's right.
Like, really hard. Like, I've played a bunch of Guilty Gear, Revelator. I've played Street Fighter V. I've played Dragon Ball Z Fighters. I played Tekken. Well, Tekken 7's really hard, so I don't really play that one too
Tekken
much.
Tekken 7 is really hard.
Schoolgirls. I really want to get good at fighting games. I'm terrible at it, but I want to get to the point where I'm competent enough. So I'm going to buy a fighting stick.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. And hopefully learn how to play better.
Okay.
So I'm excited for Guilty Gear Strive.
Strive, yep.
Yes.
Coming out in June now?
I think so.
Okay, that sounds right. Do you know, do the fighting sticks carry across for just like all the games? Is that how that works? I've never thought about it.
All the games, what do you mean?
Like, okay, so like in my head, right, I imagine, I don't know, maybe something like an arcade cabinet in let's say Fun Factory, since that's the ones that we remember from Hawaii. Do you remember, like, I feel like different arcade cabinets had different amounts of buttons, mm-hmm. right? So I was wondering, I was like, okay, if I had a just, you know, a standard, I don't know, let's say like 6-button fight stick or whatever, right, to plug into whatever console I'm using. If a game has more than just like 6 buttons, like what ends up happening? You know what I mean? Where it's like, do you think that ever, like, happens in terms of these things?
I think the fighting sticks have, most of the fighting sticks, like Hori and other ones have...
So, like, 8 buttons or
have something? Enough buttons to, like, they have the just... I don't think there's, like, a, like, on a controller, there'll be an extra button. There'll just a button for punch, a button for kick, a button for grab, a button for guard, a button, unless you're holding the back button, okay. Or a button for your special move or something.
Okay.
So they just always have that assigned, and it'll just, like, translate to whatever
game. I guess maybe now as you were talking about it, I think the thing I'm probably thinking of is like how the cabinets would be like, hey, like this button is punch, this mm-hmm. is kick, and then this is like, you know, heavy attack, light attack, whatever, yeah. That kind of stuff. But I guess if it was like, because I remember, I think Tekken being very specific where it's like, you know, like high punch, low punch.
That's why.
Do they have mid punch? I forget. It's like you could do like, oh no, maybe it was like left
stuff.
Left and right, like left punch, right kick kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. and then you do the direction and whatnot. But yeah, Tekken is a whole nother beast.
Yeah, another beast that I'm probably not going to get good at. Other than that, the other one I want to point out is SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's right.
And the Battle for Bikini Bottom. I've never played the original, mm-hmm. didn't own it, but I saw it because I recently also got Samurai Jack Battle Through Time game, and that was fantastic. So then, you know, I'm in the mood for a platformer. I love SpongeBob. Who doesn't? So I bought it. I've heard very mixed reviews.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people from Kind of Funny and other places say, oh, it's not great. It's not a very good game. It's not worth it.
Wow, okay.
And then I've also... Barrett.
Oh, mostly. Yeah. I figured it had to have been Barrett talking about it. But I was like, I missed that he didn't like it. I thought he just did like it.
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't. Oh, but I could be wrong. But I also heard other people like, oh, it's a solid platformer and stuff. Played it. Solid platformer.
Oh, nice.
Good mechanics. Story is whatever. But it's more SpongeBob. It's like you're playing an episode of SpongeBob.
Okay.
Collectathon.
Yeah.
Not much more you could ask for. Enjoyable.
What do you collect besides the golden spatulas? Is that the main thing?
That's the main thing, but you also get Patrick's socks that you give to him so you can get golden spatulas.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then you collect like little coral pieces, which is like your money kind of thing.
Okay.
But fun. There's a thing at the end where you have to get a certain like 40,000 coral pieces.
Jeez.
And you unlock the theater in Bikini Bottom. Like, oh man, do I get like a SpongeBob episode in this game? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But no, it's just like a gallery of all the pictures of...
Oh my gosh.
Okay. My God, that's slightly disappointing.
Kind of a letdown.
That
would be cool to have like
a SpongeBob episode.
Yeah, like new episode or something.
They did that for Simpsons Hit and Run.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, there's a theater in the town where if you get a certain thing and you unlock the theater, you can watch an episode, not of The Simpsons, but of Itchy and Scratchy.
Cat and
it's like a 10-minute episode.
That's pretty
good.
Oh,
this is super cool. Yeah, so I was hoping there, but it didn't happen.
Okay. That's pretty cool. What would you say has been your favorite thing that you played during this past year?
Favorite thing?
Well, actually,
that's a tough question.
I feel like if I were to think about that, I would probably answer Hades for you, but...
It would.
Yeah,
Hades. Not. Hades or, again, Final Fantasy VII or Yakuza 7.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right, because 2020? Yeah, 2020 is when... Yeah, April is when it came out. So yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Jeez, all three of those games. Like Hades is the one that I can just jump into and play whenever.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours. Fantastic game all around. Yakuza 7. It's almost up there. It goes 0, 6, 7, and then the rest. 7's fantastic.
Awesome.
Turn-based combat. Didn't think it would get me. One of the best I've played.
Wow, that's I think you're talking about it's your best in terms of turn-based combat systems.
Yeah, because I think because it keeps you engaged. Like the effects when you hit people, the specials are entertaining to watch, and it's not just like punch.
Yeah. It's not like a brawler type of thing.
Yeah. It's very, very entertaining and flashy and stuff.
Do you have to be like engaged as you're doing it? Like, you know, quick time events in like regular Yakuza games where you have to like mash a button or hit a button at a specific time. Is that still in there for 7 also?
Yep.
Okay.
So when you do moves, you have to press X at a certain time or mash really fast.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's such a good game. Couldn't recommend it enough. Damn. But the other one I wanted to talk about, and you mentioned it earlier, Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Monster Hunter World, but just condensed. I don't even want to say condensed. Like, the map's smaller. The worlds are smaller and stuff. But it has literally everything Monster World has, minus the hunting aspects.
Yeah, and you mean, like, because we talked a little bit about that while you were playing. Like, specifically, like, the tracking monsters
you can't,
to find them.
You don't track monsters. You don't pick up their footprints or fossils or whatever.
Marks and things.
You just get on your dog. I forgot what it's called. You get on your dog, Palamute?
No.
Palamute. Something. I think it's Palamute.
Okay. Oh yeah, because it's like mutt.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, Palamute. Okay.
And you get on it and you just chase it down. I could see myself putting hours and hours and hours into this game. It's fantastic, and I'm trying to get Nathan to get it, but eventually.
I don't think about it, Michael. I don't have Nintendo Switch Online. I can't jump into that.
But I can't say enough about it. It's more Monster Hunter. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like watching you play it and stuff, there's a lot of things that I'm liking from what I'm seeing as you play it. Like the overall setting, I like more than the Monster Hunter World setting, just because, you know, all the Japanese themes and stuff. And like the music itself in the background, I think is overall just like better. It's probably the kind of older style, like Japanese singing aspect in there. I think there's like a specific type of older Japanese music, like singing style, that I don't really like, and it's like the one that's like the voice is very like tremulous and stuff. It kind of goes up and down all over the place. I don't like that kind of style, but like the way that they sing in Monster Hunter Rise, where it's more like a ballad type of thing. Mm-hmm. I really like that style of singing, and then just kind of like hearing that in the background as you're exploring. I don't know what the town is called. Do you remember?
I don't remember either.
Okay, we'll call it Japantown.
There,
that's basically what it is.
Hub world,
Japantown, hub world. But yeah, I like kind of hearing all that stuff. You showed me the title screen, which has one of the main ladies in the town singing. Like, just singing, and I was like, oh, that's so really nice. Cool. Yeah, it's a nice little detail there. And although there were weird like janky areas, like we talked about, where the I don't know what they're called, like those flying wyverns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like those small dudes that are kind of flying in the background that you probably wouldn't go and fight. Like in world, I think you would go and find them and like activate,
latch on them.
And... yeah, latch onto them so they could carry you somewhere else in the map. You can see those dudes like on the map, like some areas, and they look a little bit like they're struggling to be like fluid and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of framing out
at a distance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then yeah, like the actual monsters themselves,
I didn't notice any frame drops or lags or even online. It all flowed relatively well.
Yeah. And you had like 3 or 4 people mm-hmm. just pop into your thing as you were playing, and
one guy joined me with a couple of funts. It was great.
Silk, that was his name.
Great.
So many interesting names popping up there. What was the one that you didn't get to play with?
Walks with water.
Or walks with light.
That was it.
I was like, name. I got this holy man coming into the game. I'm gonna teach you about the Monster Hunter Bible.
It's like Sonic Bible. But it's great. So hopefully eventually, I'm sure you'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
We both can jump in and kill some monsters.
Yeah, I think because I told you my plan is that I either will save for Bravely Default 2 to try that out if it goes on like a small sale, because I assume it probably will eventually at some point, because it's it came out last month, right? It's not super old now that I think about it. But if either that or Monster Hunter Rise go on like a small discount in like the near future, I'll pick one of them up and start playing it.
Nice.
I've been playing so much PlayStation games lately that I just like I can't even like move away.
You gotta break free.
I know, I just can't do it, Michael. I'm just team PlayStation all the time, Michael. Team PlayStation. I have a PlayStation shirt on for everybody that's listening. And Michael's shaking his head.
Very anticlimactic there.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, dude, I've been playing like mostly PlayStation stuff. Recently I played a little bit of Xbox as well. Because Octopath Traveler came to Xbox, and it's been like months since I played Octopath Traveler, and just hearing the music again in the start screen, it doesn't get any better than that. I can't think of other music soundtracks that are just so good like that.
So good. Plus with the art style.
Oh yeah, the art style is chef's kiss. I can't wait for the name that I don't want to say. Their next
Triangle Strategy.
HD. Yeah, Project Triangle Strategy. Awful. Please.
I'm excited,
that.
But.
Just Salt Iron Tactics, you know what I'm saying? The name's going to stick eventually.
Just
Michael.
Don't make it a tactics game.
But it's a tactics game.
I know.
Can't tell them to not make it a tactics game. There was something else. Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in just a bit. Because it's really only like one noteworthy thing that happened this past week, and I'll just kind of mention it briefly since I didn't get to watch the entire conference and Michael didn't get to watch the conference. Because it was like 2.5 hours long. It was crazy long. But there was a cool game in there that reminds me of what's the series? Not series. It kind of reminds me of Vanillaware games a little bit. Dragon's Crown.
Odin Sphere,
yeah.
13 Sentinels.
13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim or something like that. I was going to say Pacific Rim. Wait, is it even Aegis Rim?
No,
Aegis something.
I don't know. Aegis
Sentinels?
I have no idea.
I'm going to say... No, wait, because I said we said 13
Yeah,
Sentinels,
13
right?
Sentinels. I have no idea Sentinels. What you're even talking about.
I am, Aegis something. Man, so hard.
You'll get it eventually.
We'll get it eventually. But yeah, it has that kind of art style, and it's really cool. So I'll give you the name of that so that you can check it out later. But I think there's like a handful of things in that showcase that I would be like really excited for, that I would recommend you seeing the trailers for.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other ones that I think are cool, and I'd check them out when they come out. A lot of them are coming to Game Pass too, which I think is kind of the main cool thing. But man, Game Pass, so crazy.
It's so great.
Good. So good. But yeah, like I said, mainly a lot of like PlayStation stuff. I recently got the platinum for the PS5 version of The Pathless.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about that. That was a really solid game. I will say there was one point towards the end where I was getting built up so much, and then got at the end cutscene, credits start going, and I was like, man, if that's where they leave this, it kind of bumps my overall like score of the game down a little bit.
Oh no!
And I was like, this brings it from like a 9 to like an 8.5 or something.
Oh.
But I found out there is a secret end that you get if you have collected all, they call them light stones. So if you've collected all the light stones, you get a secret ending, which you need for the platinum anyways.
Right.
And the secret ending, I was like, okay, back to a 9. It was real good.
There you go.
I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. Like, I knew I liked giant squid just from like Abzu and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously they have people that worked on games like Journey and what's it called? I guess they must have worked on Flower and Flow a little bit too.
Yeah, I think so.
But like those type of games, you know, very like tranquil, and this one a little bit different because it's a bit more hectic with the giant beasts that you're kind of chasing around, and also like in the beginning avoiding because they'll just come at you and steal your eagle from you and whatnot, which is real stressful at the time.
Oh yeah,
this is like the one type of stealth that I didn't like because I don't have any way to like
avoid.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so the mechanic that they have in there, since we haven't talked about it yet, is you know, you get, as you're kind of moving around the map and stuff, if you're at an area where one of the big bosses hasn't been like pacified, I'll say, right? Or you haven't kind of purified them,
mm-hmm.
then what ends up happening is there's this giant, like, red miasmic cloud that, you know, appears somewhere on the map and will occasionally kind of disappear and then reappear somewhere else. So it's kind of constantly moving around every so often. And if you get within a certain distance of it, it starts to grow in size until it eventually envelops you. And when it does that, the eagle buddy that you're flying with, he gets like, or she, they get swept away into this like storm or whatever. And it's a pretty like disturbing looking like stormy area. There's like, looks like fire and brimstone kind of stuff in there, and some like skeletons frozen in the air and stuff, evil looking statues and whatnot. But yeah, so like that envelops them, eagle gets taken away, and then you have to make your way to the eagle to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, though, this creature is like stalking you inside this area, and what ends up happening is like as you're moving towards the eagle, the creature will like appear, and wherever it's looking, it emanates this like, you know, super bright red light. And basically, when you're in that like, you know, line of sight for that thing, if you move, the thing will disappear and then reappear right next to you and like, you know, attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're not going to like die or things like that. It's basically just like it'll attack you and then it kind of steals some of your, I'll call them like experience points, basically. It's like these gold diamonds that you kind of accrue by like finding, like solving puzzles and like finding secrets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it increases your ability to kind of use the bird to fly higher and higher. So if you get hit by that enough, it kind of, you know, it kind of sucks, and it's taken away your traversal ability a little bit. But it's not going to like break the game for you. It might break the platinum for you. I think that it can do that. If you get hit enough by those things, I think it can take enough experience from you where you're kind of out of luck. But it's like, yeah, you're trying to go through. Every time it's like eyes are on you, you have to just stand still and then hope it like passes by you. But one of the like stressful things is as you're kind of moving and whatnot, if you're like in the like straight walking path of this thing, which sometimes you can't tell like which way it's gonna go,
mm-hmm.
But if you're in its way, even if you're not moving, if it like touches you, it's like, oh, you're there, and then it just attacks you.
Ugh.
And then you can't avoid it, because, you know, if you try to like move and it's looking straight at you and coming at you, then it's like, well, I can't do anything, so you're just gonna take my experience points anyways.
Oh man.
So that happened, I think, maybe a few times where I was just like, okay, I'm out of luck, I can't do anything for this. But overall, like, it's a fun game.
Sounds more stressful than I would have liked.
Yeah, I think like those parts are a little stressful, but I realized as I kind of got further along in the game that I can actually kind of avoid those areas for the most part.
Right.
Because I thought you had to really, like, certain times you have to go into it because maybe it's sitting, like, right on top of a tower you have to cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
You basically have to cleanse 3 towers in each plateau to freeze the monster in place to kind of enter this, like, boss battle with it.
Right.
And so if it's blocking that, then you have to go into it just to clear it, and then now you can go to the tower and whatnot. But if it's just kind of like off to the side, you can kind of collect things around it and then hope it moves and then go into the area that it was at. So that's not too bad. And towards the end of the game, that's what I was doing mainly, is mm-hmm. I was just avoiding these confrontations and then kind of going and
just getting the main stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to kind of avoid extra fights and stuff. And it's less stressful that way. You just have a good time exploring around and all these things. There's not really monsters that you have to fight besides the big bad dudes.
Right.
So that's kind of the nice thing.
Well, when I get a PS5, that will be...
Yeah. Or it's playable on PS4. On PS4,
that's true. Yeah. But yeah. I want to experience in that new gen quality.
Yeah, I know. It's like, because the game is already beautiful. Like,
regardless.
Yeah, even on the PS4. It's not like you get a huge boost in like graphics or mm-hmm. fidelity or anything like that. It looks a little bit more crisp, so it's nice, but even on the PS4, I don't feel like I noticed a huge difference.
Right?
Yeah, so like it's just the art style they kind of went with that it translates well over to either one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing is you can get 2 separate trophy lists. So
if you
buy it on PS4, you automatically own both PS4 mm-hmm. and PS5. So can't go wrong with it if you wanted to try it out and then play it when it comes out again. So I think that is one thing I'll probably end up doing is I got the Platinum for PS5, and I'm going to probably save the PS4 version now for like some time in the future where I'm like, you know what? I want to go play some Pathless and just fly around.
Just fly around, yeah.
So I think it'll be a fun like rainy day kind of thing. What else have I played lately? I haven't gone back to Final Fantasy 14 in a while.
Online.
I need to go and play some more of that before my 30 days runs out.
Oh, yeah.
Man, the stress of subscriptions, Michael.
I know. We have too many.
I know, for real, man. There's so many subscription-based things now, like Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sponsored by Xbox at all, so people that are aware that you know of. Oh, my gosh. Michael's getting some secret deals that I don't know over here. But, yeah, I think besides that... I already mentioned I played a little bit of Octopath Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to pop an achievement yesterday for that, and I was like, whoa, this is
now,
nice.
Will you jump back into the Switch and play it or not?
I think so. Okay, so it's kind of two things where I would, but I'm also far enough removed from it that there's probably some story things that would take a little bit to kind of like jog in my memory that I'm probably like forgetting about. Mm-hmm. And like starting to play a little bit yesterday, I was like, okay, I'm starting to remember some of the main story missions. But then I was, you know, I started off with the same character that I chose before. I chose the Hunter, Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like her like normal, or what's the character ability type of thing. So I started off as her, and then as I was kind of going through her like beginning mission, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that this is like what she was being driven towards in her character quest and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think I remember some of them, like the thief, and for some reason, the dancer, I remember that one. I remember a little bit of some of the other ones, but they're kind of more like obscure sometimes. So right. I kind of want to go through and at least try to remember those things. And then I figured by that point, I'm probably already close to kind of where I was in the other story.
Not sure.
But it's also kind of gotten to that point, I think, on the Switch where, because I've been going around getting all the companions, I think I'm missing, like, one, or maybe either one or two on the Switch. And as you kind of go through, like, character or, like, enemies around the world are still kind of leveling up with you.
Yep.
So it's no longer just, like, super easy to, you know, defeat all these, like, early, like, mission type of things. It's because it's, like, slowly scaling up. But the game still had that weird thing where the new characters you find are still level 1,
mm-hmm.
and you have to level them up pretty quickly, which, you know, I think is doable, but it's not like super ideal.
Right.
It's kind of a weird like leveling system they had going on. But yeah, I think I'll probably play some more on the Xbox just because now I can get achievements for it, and then. Your poor Switch
games aren't getting love because they don't have any trophies or achievements.
I know, man. They just gotta get with the times. You know what I'm saying? Nintendo's such an old company, man.
You play video games to play video games.
I do. This is true. I'm better than I was in the past.
That's true. That's for sure.
I used to just avoid like games that didn't have platinums, like, on purpose kind of thing. I'm just like, I ain't gonna play this game. It's not even a real game if it doesn't have a platinum trophy.
Oh, man.
And then the games that aren't real games got platinum trophies. And I'm like, well, now everything's been pulled upside down. So I can get this platinum trophy in, like, 10 minutes or something.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, man, everything's been changed, you know?
It's true.
And I'm a changed man.
You are.
Everything's going on. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I think I like that it's on Xbox, because honestly, like, this year I've been playing, you know, PlayStation stuff the most, like, specifically PS5, because going back to PS4 feels really slow.
I can
now
imagine. Yeah,
like, the just, like, you know, this on the menu screens, not even in games, but just on the dashboard and stuff, feels so slow. It's crazy. But then, yeah, I've been doing PS5 stuff, and then Switch for I think a few things like Fortnite and stuff occasionally. But, you know, like, basically, like, I've been neglecting the Xbox real hard, like, real hardcore.
Like, I have.
And I was just like, you know what? Like, if Octopath is on here, this would give me a reason to, like, jump in a lot to Xbox, at least. And then they have, what is it, Narita Boy coming out on the 30th. And I was like, dude, this game looks sick. So I think those things will give me reasons to, like, jump into stuff. But I want to hang on to some reasons. If I just give it up to Octopath to the Switch, I might never play my Xbox.
That's true.
So I gotta do these things.
You could play Sonic Adventure Battle on the Xbox. That's all the reason you need.
Jeez, I don't know. I don't know what that game was that you just said.
Sonic Adventure 2 Battle.
Adventure 2 Battle?
Yeah. Well, it was called Battle when it went to the GameCube. So it's just essentially Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, okay. Is that your favorite Sonic game? Sonic Adventures 2?
No.
Okay.
Sonic 3, Sonic/Sonic & Knuckles is my favorite Sonic game.
Okay.
2's up there, though.
Okay, I was going to say, you did like that.
Yes, I did like Sonic Adventure 2.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. I thought you were just telling me to play a Sonic game over here.
Well, probably today's standards, it's not great.
Oh, okay.
Even back then, it might have been a little... but it's good. I like it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that's pretty much what I've been playing, though. I don't really have... a huge thing there. Last one, I've been playing a game called Paradise Lost, and I actually got to finish through all the... So there's two different endings, so I managed to play through it a couple times. Got a code, I think, for it right before the game came out, so we had kind of like a little bit of time to kind of play through the whole thing. It came out on the 24th, I believe. And at first I was like, okay, like, things are kind of slow to kind of build up. And I mean, granted, like, I feel like walking simulator can be like kind of a pejorative type of term, but basically, like, you know, it is what it is. You're walking through and getting story, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there's gotta be a better term than walking simulator, you know?
Cause it's not a great term
story driven, right?
Yeah.
It's like
narrative.
It's like a narrative game. What would you call Gone Home? I wouldn't call it a walking simulator.
I'd call it a narrative story.
Yeah. Like a narrative driven experience. Let's call it that. So Paradise Lost is also like a narrative driven experience. But you're making your way through this like Nazi created bunker. And I didn't know like entirely what to expect going in. I was super pleasantly surprised by kind of the overall like majesty of the world that they kind of created in there. Cause in my mind, I'm like, okay, we're going into this bunker. We're gonna see some weird kind of creepy messed up things because Nazis were involved in this story and whatnot, right?
Yep.
It's kind Never of good. A like alternate history universe where
like that
the okay, hold on. I'm sometimes real bad with history terms and stuff.
I'll get I'll where see
the,
if you're right
where the Allies didn't create the atomic bomb first, and it was actually the Axis that did. Germany created it first, right?
That's not good.
So yeah right.
Well, it's not good not regardless good, of
not
any
good
of it.
In this alternate history thing. For sure. But basically, yeah, what ended up happening is the timeline of the war was all like different. And eventually, like, Germany still got pushed into a place where, you know, they felt that they had no other option but to unleash like nuclear holocaust on the world. And so they basically launched nukes everywhere and just like, you know, destroyed the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they sent basically kind of like a like isolation colony of I guess like you know pre-selected colonists and whatnot from like German Aryan lines and whatnot and put them in this bunker area, and the idea was they were supposed to survive down there until, you know, it was safe to go back to the surface again and then, you know, spread across the world and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your character finds this bunker because he's looking for basically this guy in a photograph that he has, and he's trying to figure out who this person is. As you're kind of going through and whatnot, you start to realize, like, hey, like, there's not really anybody in this bunker except for this one person that you meet over radio, and you start talking with her. And otherwise, it seems like everyone down here, something pretty crazy happened, and we don't know what's going on, so now you have to kind of go deeper into these levels to kind of figure out what's happening there. Your character, oh man, I can't say the name well, because they're, I think it's a Polish name. I think your character is Polish, and the character that you meet, her name is easier to say. It's Eva.
Mm-hmm.
Your character, I think it's Shimon, I believe. It's okay. Like, it's kind of like Simon, but there's like a Y in there and maybe an R that's like silent sounding.
Sounds Polish.
Yeah. but yeah, so it's like you're kind of going through. The character Eva needs some help to like get out because she's kind of trapped down here and she doesn't know how to get out. So you're basically kind of on this mission to go and find her to help her get out while you're also looking for the person in the photograph that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're kind of making your way through, you're, you know, figuring out, you know, some weird things happened here. You're uncovering story bits of like kind of what happened as far as there was like this kind of resistance underground that happened with Polish like resistance network, and kind of they infiltrated the bunker. Things were going on that were pretty crazy. They split into factions and stuff. Jesus at one point. Christ. And it's a really interesting story. I think that's obviously, you know, as a narrative driven experience, that's got to be the strong point. But yeah, some of the really like cool things that they did with just kind of, you know, shots when you first enter like a new area, you get to see like really kind of the depths of like these caverns that you go into. And it's crazy thinking about like, you know, within the universe of the game, like how, you know, the Nazis like created these gigantic, like seemingly like almost like you're out in the open world kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly there's like a cave ceiling.
Right.
And yeah, like you get to these areas where you're like, it feels like we're outside. Like, how can we be this far underground?
But like
yeah, but they've got just, you know, really cool like designs and like level designs and like lighting aspects. I think at one point there was a like a short puzzle where I kind of, you know, had to turn a train car to get across this gap, and turned it the right way and made it through to the other side. And then I happened to look backwards, and because as I was going through, I saw that there was like bullet holes like in this train. And that's, I think, where you start to figure out that there's some kind of, you know, resistance fight going on previously.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get to the other side, because, you know, you're seeing these bullet holes in the train, you see like some discarded like guns and ammo all over the place. And you get to the other side, and you kind of, if you look back at the train, the lighting had a really cool thing where you look back, and because the train on the inside was lit up, you get to see basically like the, you know, bright spots where now these bullet holes have kind of pierced the train wall and whatnot. And when you look back, you just see kind of all these like areas where it looks like Swiss cheese. And
oh,
stuff.
That's cool.
And I was like, that's a kind of cool thing that I wasn't expecting, and I liked it a lot. But yeah, I mean, the atmosphere like slowly got more and more tense over time. Mm-hmm. And I think it does kind of the classic, you know, video game type of thing when you're talking about story experiences, where you have a lot of games that go through like the five stages of grief,
mm-hmm.
right? Or of loss, I guess, maybe. But yeah, basically kind of going through that, that's the different chapters in the game. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple different endings. You have to play through the game like twice to actually get both of them. But overall, it's a pretty cool game.
Nice. I'll have to check it out. I love that. That alternative take on history.
Yeah. But if we don't get like a whole lot of those.
No.
Like, right?
Not in video games, at least.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies, right? Books and media, like Man in High Castle.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff. But
yeah, it's always cool. Fun to get those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick side.
Oh, Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Wolfenstein.
That's the biggest there, one.
Yeah. I totally forgot about Wolfenstein.
God dang.
I gotta go back and play Wolfenstein. Jeez. Quick side thing, which, you know, I don't think is worthy of making news because I don't think we have confirmed details yet, but I think we've heard that the next Call of Duty coming out this year, it sounds like it's going to be World War II based. What are your thoughts on that, Michael? I know you're not a huge shooter fan in general.
I don't know. Like, I feel like me personally, and it could not just be video game or video games in general,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like too much focus is on World War One and World War Two.
Yeah.
I know there's a whole bunch we can do with it and stuff, but it's always, I feel like those are always the main things that are talked about when it comes to like wartime stuff and like media and stuff.
Yeah.
So it would be cool to see what they're going to do, but Battlefield's already done it.
Yeah, yeah, because we had, what, Battlefield 1 was one of the first ones that went back.
And yeah, and it was very cool and stuff, but I, and didn't Call of Duty already do it already with
the Normandy one?
Yeah,
I kind of forgot that recently, within the last few years, I think, they had Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and I started playing some of that because I think it came to PS Plus at one point. And it's pretty good. Like, I have to play more of it to kind of really get into it. But it's a weird thing where I know at one point there was a lot of people that were like fatigued on kind of how futuristic the series was getting.
Yeah.
And now we're fatigued about going back into the past. And I'm just like, guys, you have to make up your mind of which ones you're fatigued about.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Like, if you don't go into the future and you don't go into the past, then there's only the present.
I think they could do like not focus on main wars. I feel like they can go even deeper.
Oh,
do like more obscure wars that that doesn't even have to happen like the United States, just happened around the Gulf War, or I don't think you should touch Afghanistan and the Iraqi War, because that's,
yeah, I think there's some ones that you probably just
that you stay away from.
Stay away from, because
but like really go to do a game on like on, I don't want a bad example, like Pearl Harbor, or do a game on the Battle of Midway, or do a game on a battle or war thing in Vietnam. Have they even done Vietnam? I don't think they've even done Vietnam.
I'm trying to think. Was Vietnam...
Or the Korean War.
Wait, shoot, what was that called? So there was one, I think a while back, called Call of Duty World at War. Was that Vietnam?
I have no idea.
Okay, I don't know, because I never played it, but I think that one may have been Vietnam. Either that or the Korean War. I think it was one of the two, but... Yeah, I mean, like, because
you can tell so many stories.
Yeah, yeah, like, and that's the thing too, is like, I know people are like, oh man, like, what else can we do with World War II as like a, you know, video game type of like story to tell? And I'm like, I think there's probably quite a few other stories you could tell in there. I'm sure we haven't heard like everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll be hearing things like long time to come. But
oh yeah,
but I mean, in terms of just like, I feel like a good, since people are like, okay, we don't want this futuristic stuff. It's too, like, you know, I don't know if people think it's like generic or something with all the, you know, exo suits and things like that. Sci-fi stuff. We're out in space shooting lasers, which is apparently fine for Star Wars, but not for Call of Duty. But I feel like, you know, if we were to kind of step partially away, I mean, because I know, like, you know, Modern Warfare obviously did a story that is unique. It's not like, you know, based off of World War One or World War Two or a specific war in like, you know, real history, but I feel like, yeah, if you were to just splinter off and start making stories that kind of line up with maybe like specific ages in history, but not around like this specific real war or this specific real conflict kind of thing, I feel like that would be more interesting for people.
True. Make like, or even do like alternative outcomes to a war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something just, that's just not based on something.
History kind of thing, right? It doesn't have to turn into Wolfenstein, but
no, it doesn't. Like, but
yeah, okay. It could. You could make your own things that way, and then, you know, when people, you know, inevitably like get upset because you base it like loosely off of this specific kind of like thing with your own like tweaks and whatnot, then you just be like, you know what? It's like not based on real history, guys. It's just alternate history.
Made up.
It's a made up story that we're putting forward like this.
Be perfect.
Yeah, I feel like that works better. And then maybe if Battlefield wants to keep doing the things that they're doing, then that's fine. They can split into different directions.
Totally can.
But yeah, neither of us are like super into the whole like Call of Duty, Battlefield genre kind of thing.
First person shooter.
Yeah, yeah. I think like Wolfenstein was probably one of your bigger ones.
Yeah.
I liked Doom, but in like
it's like its own unique.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think
and like Eternal turned way more into kind of like strategy shooting in a way that I didn't quite dive with as much. Yeah, that one, it made it tougher for me because I just wanted to shoot stuff. And then I was just like, figure out what I'm doing here? No way.
Let me turn on my brain and press a button.
I'm not playing like a puzzle shooting game. What is this? The Portal? But yeah, I think there's interesting things you could do there.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're talking a little bit about the news, and we've been going for quite a while, I guess that's kind of inevitable because there's two of us now.
Yeah.
But, the last news thing, we talked about the ID at Xbox showcase that happened yesterday now. Basically, there was a, you know, 2.5-ish hour showcase that they kind of went through. For people that are looking to go through it and kind of skim through, kind of like I did, because there's a whole lot of, I think, like developer commentary and kind of interviews going on there as well,
mm-hmm.
which I think would be, you know, cool to watch for specific ones that you're interested in. For other ones, if you're not really digging the game, it's probably not a reason for you to go and just fully watch that it all, thing. Yeah. And they also had like quite a few bits and pieces where, you know, like they had, you know, a handful of games trailers that were shown, and then kind of a period of, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 minutes of kind of a couple commentator girls that were kind of talking about what they had just seen. So it was kind of more of a, it almost felt like a reactions video showcase in a way,
mm-hmm.
but clearly, you know, not a just straight up reactions thing, because they're, you know, working with the entire like showcase,
right?
So it had like a weird like middle ground kind of feel in a way. But there was like quite a few like cool ones that were shown. One of the ones that I wanted to mention, there's a game called Narita Boy, which is coming out very soon, mm-hmm. for Game Pass as well as Switch and PS4. The game's name, I think, is cool because I think the developer grew up in Narita, Japan, and this is kind of his ode to like things he remembers growing up and whatnot. But it's kind of a 2D action,
I don't know
what you'd really call like platforming kind of thing, but yeah, like action kind of survival vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some like wacky like techno stuff going on in the background and stuff, and I think the overall vibe of the game I really dig.
80s Tron,
mm-hmm.
tech weird.
Yeah. There's like a VHS master boss.
Yep.
That you have to fight and stuff, and I'm like, heck yeah, dude, I'm digging this.
It's like I think the logo almost looks like who's that?
Oh shoot, yeah.
He-Man. Is it He-Man?
He-Man? What is that? Thundercats? I don't know.
The Thundercats. It might be Thundercats.
Yeah.
Where his sword's up and it's shooting this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think his sword is called the Techno Sword.
Yeah, there you go.
Which goes in with the whole like theme of everything.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the trailer when it announces the title, because you know sometimes trailers you just get a title and maybe some like ominous music or something. This is one of those ones where it's like a throwback to, I don't know, like Mortal Kombat or something, where like as the title appears, the narrator, whoever, like shouts it out kind of thing.
Narita Boy!
Yeah, he's like, Narita Boy! And I'm just like, cool. Oh man, this is really cool.
I like that.
But yeah, I mean, that one's I'm excited about playing really soon. There's a game that is coming out by Drinkbox.
Yep.
Right,
yep,
the people who made Guacamelee, called Nobody Saves the World.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's coming out soon-ish. There's no like date kind of thing, but it's going to be coming to Game Pass as well. That one is like, it's like a mixture of like Enter the Gungeon with, mm-hmm. man, so many different like characters that you can play as kind of thing. And they're like wacky characters. It's not like normal, you know, it's like obscure. You go into like this dungeon crawling kind of thing where it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna play as a warrior or a mage or an archer, these kind of things, right? But it's like you play as like, I think like a mouse in one point,
mm-hmm.
and the mouse turns into like a lab rat. He's like a scientist. He's dressed in like glasses and like a lab coat, and he has like these science powers now. It's like, what is this game? It's so interesting.
Drinkbox makes good games. Severed, yeah, Guacamelee. It's very, very good.
Oh man, it's looking so good for this thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that one. The game that came, or that game that came in the showcase after that, was called Astria Ascending. It is also coming to Game Pass, and I think it's got some of the creators from some of the Final Fantasy games, I believe.
Ooh.
Some of the, like the Square Enix type of things.
Oh yeah.
Shoot, it's the one that I mentioned before that it looks kind of like a Vanillaware,
yes.
type of game. Art style wise, it's got this really pretty art style.
Mm-hmm.
Characters with very exaggerated features and stuff. Like some of the legs on these characters are gigantic. Like the size of like,
oh yeah, that's very Dragon's Crown
midsection kind of thing.
Very Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, kind of seeing them go through that, I think it's got some of the, like the music was really like good in the trailer itself.
Mm-hmm.
There was an interesting choice in the showcase where like they showed the trailer, which looked really cool, and then went through a whole bunch of other games. And then towards the end of the showcase, I think, yeah, actually right at the very end before they mentioned a whole bunch of things coming to Game Pass and already on Game Pass. They showed a small interview with a couple of the main people on the Astria Ascending game, which I thought was weird to kind of separate it so much.
Yeah.
But overall, like, it looks really cool, and I don't know.
RPG, man, give it to me.
Yeah.
Inject it into my veins. RPG
and kind of action in there a little bit. Not in the sense of Dragon's Crown, because the battles are like turn-based kind of thing, but it just looks like you kind of go through the worlds and, you know, like that, like walking through a comic book kind of thing. And then I think the last couple ones that I'll mention, Loot River, which it looks like is by the team that made Superhot. This one looks very different from Superhot because it's not a first-person type of game. What you are almost kind of in the aspect of, what is that called? Hyperlight Drifter.
I was just about to say it looks like Hyperlight Drifter a little bit.
Yeah, and so you're kind of on this, you know, 2-ish D, like 2.5, like 3D, like top-down perspective, and you're kind
isometric.
Like isometric. That's the word. And you're basically like controlling some of the platforms that you're on in order to kind of solve puzzles and enable you to like fight enemies better and just move around the world. And just kind of the fluidity of everything in that game looks really awesome. Music looks really cool as well.
Of course.
But man, that one I think would have been my most excited thing in here because it was really close to the end and I was just like, man, I can't imagine something better than this right now because I'm so high off of that. And then the next one that came out was Death's Door from the team Acid Nerve. And you might not remember the team, but they also made Titan Souls.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, and I was just like, oh my gosh, dude. I was like, Acid Nerve, that sounds so familiar. And I saw the logo and I was like, that's Titan Souls right there. And this one looks similar to it. Like even the gameplay looks kind of like Titan Souls a little bit. Giant bosses that you're facing off against. You're a crow for some reason.
Why not? You don't get that enough.
I know, right? When do you get to play as a crow who has like a red sword made of energy or whatever? But it's like you're wandering around. I think they had a short interview with them afterwards that I'm probably going to go back and watch eventually. But they were basically, I heard them mention that the reason you play as a crow is because it kind of embodies or symbolizes like death a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, Death's Door being the name of the game.
Right.
But yeah, it's like you're going through these different worlds, it seems like, as a crow, and you're fighting these like crazy creatures and slowly making your way to whatever end that you're going towards.
Well, another isometric, I like it.
Yeah,
it looks like Hades a little bit too.
Yeah, it gave off like a mixture of like Titan Souls and like Hades vibes in terms of kind of like combat and stuff. Because I guess it's still kind of isometric for Titan Souls, but it felt more like right above your character as opposed to like off to the side angled. Yeah, so I really dug that stuff. So I know you've been, I think, peeking at like some of the things probably as I mentioned them and stuff. But if you get a chance to look through later on, then definitely let me know what you think looks pretty cool there. Because there's a lot of stuff shown. I can't say I would watch the entire thing again because it's so long. But
just pick and choose.
If they had like a condensed version, you know, like take out the commentary, just let me watch the entire thing.
Give me like a trailer of all these things, a link, and I am good.
Yeah. Don't break it all up. I want all in the same video.
Yes, all in the same video.
But if you give me like a hyperlink on the side, I'll click it. You know, I'll give you that.
I'll click it.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much all I've got here as far as like new stuff, Michael. Now I know you said that you have a new segment. We're replacing. You're not replacing your Sonic fandom, but you're replacing the segment.
We're doing that one now first.
Oh, we're doing that one too.
I don't know.
I had no idea.
It sounded like you were going right into it.
I have no idea. Let me know, Michael. What's up?
We'll go with what you were doing. We'll go with what you got.
Oh no. Okay, so. Sorry, I thought we were replacing the Sonic thing. That was my understanding.
We are replacing, but I always thought the Sonic thing was the last thing, because it was the last thing before we...
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
I was like, are we jumping into that now, or is there something else?
You guys are listening to the sausage we made over here, okay? I've got everything all covered.
Oh, okay.
Now we're basically there.
Okay.
We're at the new segment. What is this new segment called, Michael?
This... is a working title.
I wanted to dare call it Triangle Strategy.
No. I want to think of a good name.
Okay.
But for now, it's just going to be the quiz.
Oh my gosh. All right.
You're welcome. So
working title of the quiz.
So it's basically me quizzing Nathan on video game trivia.
Okay.
And history and anything video game related.
Okay. And you said that there's like an overarching theme each week. Is that right?
It will be.
Okay.
This one's a introduction.
Okay.
Not too hard.
Getting the toes wet.
Yeah, getting your toes wet. Getting that soup drunk a little bit.
Soup drunk.
That's, you know, right. We'll act like I didn't say anything.
Also, do you drink soup like a cup?
So like I said, the themes will be, either a game Nathan's played or something. It'll be something he knows. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be something out of like the blue, like Sonic history. Cause
okay, yeah. I was going to say, if you quiz me on like cover athletes for MLB The Show,
oh, God, no.
Derek Jeter is one of the years. Probably.
There you go, you got it. But if it's harder, it'll be a multiple choice.
Okay.
And it'll be a max of 5 questions each.
Okay, 5 questions.
And if Nathan fails them, I get to take his PlayStation 5.
Oh my.
Okay. Here we go.
No.
Okay, first question.
Uh-huh.
Start off with a super easy one. And these are all ones I would know, minus the last two. Well, no, the last one maybe. We'll see.
Tough, okay. Please.
So number one. What is the best-selling video game of all time?
Tetris.
No.
No? Really?
You think it's Tetris, but what's another game?
It's not Tetris. Huh.
Because you already got one wrong.
No, crazy. Jeez.
I can't
think of anything as
a massive game that we both play.
That we both play? Hold on a second.
That we've both gotten into.
Oh, like Minecraft?
Minecraft.
Gotcha, okay.
Minecraft is the number one best-selling game of all time.
Wow, okay.
By a lot.
It's still past Tetris. Okay.
Oh, it's way past Tetris.
Oh, way past. All right. I think when I think of it, I'm like, okay, like across time, it's got to be Tetris. Tetris has been out forever. But okay, that makes
Minecraft,
sense.
Minecraft, sneaking up. Not really sneaking. Busting the door down.
Yeah.
Number two. Mm-hmm. This one you should get.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What is the first region in Pokemon called?
Kanto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I was about to say Johto, and I was like, no, hold on a second. There's something else.
You've hesitated there. Okay. Question three. Mm-hmm. What year was the PlayStation Vita released?
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
Now, see, I came into this late, so I have no idea. Hold on a second. I'm going to wreck my brain.
You got this. Do the math.
I don't even know if I can do math. Hold on a second. Are we talking released in the
North
US?
America.
Okay, because that changes
things. Not Japan, things. North America.
That changes things then. So...
I think when the PSP...
Okay, I can't do that, because I don't even know when the PSP released. But, okay, because this year is 10 years in Japan. So, 9 years ago? What is that, 2012?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Look at you. Two rights. I was worried about that one.
I was worried too.
Number four.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the main villain in the first Mass Effect game, and what is their race?
Okay, so that would... Hold on a second. I'm going into my mind palace. I've got the memory in here.
Test that memory.
I know, because you're talking about the main villain.
Yes,
right?
not the first one.
Not the head fake villain. We're talking about the main villain.
The main villain.
And I'm not stalling for time. I'm thinking real hard. Okay, hold on. It was...
You can name the race first if that's easier.
Okay, yeah. The race is the Reapers.
Yes.
Yes. The name... Oh my gosh. Hold on a second.
It's a cool name.
It is a cool name. Dang it.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give me the first letter.
S. Did nothing.
Hold on. Sovereign?
Sovereign. There look at you. Woo.
When you said S, first thing that came to mind was like Serenity. I'm like, that's not
right. Okay. Me on a 3-run tear. Last question.
Minecraft. Throw me for a loop there.
This one is a curveball.
Okay.
This one definitely will test your memory.
Oh boy.
What is your 50th platinum?
Oh man. You're kidding me here.
I was like, what can be a good one? Oh,
man. Okay, hold on. Because I have like weird platinums in my head as far as like milestones that I remember.
50th.
50th is like one of the ones I don't remember.
If you need a hint, I can give you it.
Okay, yeah. Give me a hint.
It's a big hint. You will probably get it if I give you this.
Okay, How about, okay, hold on a second. I was going to ask, because sometimes, like, if I was to ask you, like, what genre?
You would probably get it, too, if I gave you the genre. Okay, maybe.
Let me see. Now, just to make sure, I don't think at 50 I was into the, like, ridiculous platinums quite yet. Like
no.
I'm talking like things like you My Name Is Mayo and Mr. Masaji and things like that. I don't think I was there yet, correct?
I think this might have been around the same time.
Hmm.
Because when I was looking at this game, I'm like, okay, I remember playing it, but I don't remember it being super old.
Interesting. Okay. Give me a hint.
Okay. You might get it.
Okay.
I used to live there.
Used to live there? What the? I mean, I used to live in the East Coast.
Where in the East Coast
Wait,
today?
Oh my gosh, is it Virginia?
It's Virginia.
Oh my goodness.
3 out of 5. Okay. Let's see. Okay. That's not bad.
Okay, that's not bad. Wait, are you counting Virginia in there? Or if I get a hint, it doesn't count.
You got Pokemon, Vita, and Reaper. Oh,
Yeah. Do I get half point for
You'll get Virginia? Okay, half point for the hit.
Because cool. Because let me tell you right now, Mario, I can tell you
3.5.
My 30th platinum was Dead Space.
See, I didn't want to go too early and too.
That's like I don't recent. Know why. I can remember certain ones where it's like, yeah, 30 was Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
I think one was, actually, I think 1, 2, 3, and maybe 4 were the Splinter Cell games.
Right.
I know for sure one was like OG Splinter Cell. But from the HD trilogy. I want to say 100 was 100. Okay, 100 was either Hellblade or it was
100 was Hellblade.
Yeah, okay, that's what. 75 might have been that weird, was that Day of the Tentacle Remastered or something?
Oh, maybe.
There's like a handful of weird ones I remember.
You might want to refresh your mind on your platinums and trophies, because I might throw a question in like that.
Oh, man. This is going to be tough. This is going to be tough, Michael.
And that's the end of the quiz.
Okay.
See, you passed.
That's not too bad. Yeah. Yeah. What was that?
3.5.
3.5? Yeah. That's a 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. All right, Michael. All right. I'll try to get better at this thing. Man, there's some tough ones.
I know. It's going to get tougher. Don't worry.
Not too tough. Yeah, now see, if you had asked me Mass Effect, like, in May, when I'm replaying Mass Effect 1 on the remaster on the PS4, I would have got this easy. But, man, that is one thing I'm... So, you know, before we wrap everything up, that is one thing I'm very excited for you to get to when we get to...
The first Mass Effect?
Yeah, when we get to the first Mass Effect. We gotta set this up so that we can play this like around the same time.
Oh yeah,
if not like in the same room, like
because we played the second one almost all the way through, like right next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do it like the old days where we're like, you know, we're going similar paces here. We're probably going and collecting everything we can, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably get to another thing where your style of play is going so much faster than mine because you're just mowing through enemies and things, and I'm like, oh, I gotta sneak around and do this
slow
thing.
Down.
I'm like, hold on, you gotta wait for me for this cutscene.
I remember that happened with Deus Ex.
Oh yeah,
because I would
right.
I don't know if you got like mad or whatever, but I was like almost like, Mike, you gotta slow. I'm sorry, I'm playing the game.
Oh man, that's good times. But yeah, because I'm like, hold on, man. I'm sneaking around. You're just jumping in there and shooting fools left and right. I gotta do what you gotta do. Sneaky, you know.
I don't got time for people.
I don't got time for people. Michael, 2021.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Well, that is the end of episode 69. On I don't even know if I said the date earlier. March 27th, something like that.
I'm sure you did.
Probably not. But we're back in the groove, Michael. Back in the groove. Now, next week may be a little bit weird because I do believe my wife's parents are going to be here on the weekend.
Mm.
And then they're heading back home maybe Sunday or Monday, something like that. So if that's the case, we may be... Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say we may not have an episode next week, but I may try to still put up the official, like, you know, what is that? The miniseries. I was going to say side episode. I'm like, it's not side episode.
Yeah.
It's a miniseries. The, what's it called? Ready and Waiting. Episode 2 for Paradise Lost. So I might get that up next weekend in lieu of a full episode kind of thing. And then the following week, we should have another real thing.
Real thing.
But, you know, people that have been listening may know that I've kind of been slowly changing dates on when I ever am able to record and stuff. Life is crazy sometimes.
It happens.
You know? But now, yeah, weekends, I think, will work the best overall. So next weekend, you'll probably be getting a Ready and Waiting episode. And then the week after, episode 70, continuing on with the normal Bros and Hustles podcast. So exciting times.
Exciting times indeed.
It's good to have you back here, Michael.
It's good to be back. I've always been here, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's always been here in the corner, but good to hear your voice again, I'm sure. All right. So thank you, everybody, again for tuning in for this new episode. Probably very surprising for some people. And hopefully people actually stuck around after the rants we went on in the beginning for like almost 10 minutes or something. But it's a good time, you know, getting, like I said, getting the juices.
Exactly.
Thank you guys again for everything. And we'll see you all next week for some type of episode and the following one for a regular one. Until then, peace out.
Peace.
Cheers, everybody.